I'm sitting in a chair in my apartment. This is the last day I'm getting the fuck out of here. This is the place I've lived for the last year, where I just kind of slept in the corner on a couch and just retarded. I can't believe a whole year passed. I don't know quite what I did this year, but it was a little hard to get my footing when I'm just, you know, Anyway, also I got home real late last night after drinking. Had to get up early because Josephine had some buddy coming or some stupid shit going on. The last time, man, the last time I gotta get up and get out and spend the rest of the day like a zombie. So she's gone, that's cool. Hopefully I can just get out of here without seeing her. That would be the best. So yeah, I'm real tired. And Mike's on his way. Got two little Tupperware sort of container things that I bought. Two little plastic. I don't know how big they are. Not very big, full of books. And then I got three bags of laundry, which includes a couple pillows and sheets and my laptop, and that's it, man. That's everything I own. So yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm exhausted. Just waiting. Listening to music. Last day in this place, I just listened to If You Weren't Such an Asshole by Kupek. That's a real good song.
If you weren't such an asshole, maybe I'd be more inclined to call. And we could talk about the old days, you know, the good days before it all went to shit. But things tend to, I mean, it's no one's fault unless it is. If it is, it's probably yours. And if you weren't such an asshole, maybe it would have turned out some other way. And we wouldn't have just squandered all our potential back in the day. But the days got short and times got tough. Well, that's not your fault, so it's probably mine. If you weren't such an asshole, where would we be now? See, I keep on moving forward like a sucker, and I'm sick of how we all grow up, and we all grow old. And we pump out kids, and we turn out gay, and we move back home, and we move back away, and we all get hurt, and we all gotta die, and we've all gotta share history. But I'm gonna kick this downward trend. I've got enough friends.
Alright, it's a few days after I recorded that last clip. I've been at my friend Mike's house from Vinyl Countdown, Mustard Mike. I don't think I've ever recorded a ham radio from the bathroom before, so I'm gonna do that right now. I'm in his spare bathroom, and I'm using it. What song did I play there? I don't even remember. Man, I was so exhausted that day. It's so good to be out of there. It's just like, boom, man. Boom, times are moving. So yeah, the idea was I was going to stay at Mike's until the beginning of April and move into the new place with Craig, but turns out Craig's roommate moved out a little sooner, so I could go down there. He's missing a key, but I mean, we can probably make a copy without too much trouble. Or Brad, my friend Brad, he just got a new apartment, but because of his old lease, he's still got his old apartment and his new apartment. So for the whole month of April, he has two apartments. So I could literally, like, he has a spare apartment in downtown Toronto. It's badass. So it's weird. It's like things went from sort of awkward of getting out of my old place and having to come and pose on mic to like suddenly they ballooned open like tons of options. I have all kinds of places I could go. And yet I'm just staying up at Mike's anyway. I don't think he minds having me around too much, and it's kind of fun. This is his last month up here as well. He's also moving downtown. This is way up in North York. Anyway, well, that went pretty well, right? I just took a big shit. You couldn't even tell. You couldn't even hear it. Huh. How's about that? I'm going to play a song. This is Admiral Radley with their beautiful song, I Heart California. I found a version of them doing it on some morning show called Morning Becomes Eclectic. Elliot Smith was on it once, way back in the day. And it's them performing the song live in the studio. It's a pretty nice little tune. So let's listen to that.
It's nice out here. Santa Monica, out of the pier. The ocean breeze.
Thank you.
All right, babies. I'm still up in North York, which is like, you go up Yonge Street. It's kind of a famous street. One of the longest streets in the world. I used to live down at the end of Yonge Street, just a few blocks away from one Yonge Street. Right now, I'm in the 5,000 block of Yonge Street. I walked this once. I walked home from here once. It took 3 hours. But yes, this is where Mike lives briefly, temporarily. I think he's getting the keys to his new place today. And after that, I can't imagine ever being up here again. This is almost the end of the line. There's one more subway stop, and then you get into another city called Vaughan. And I always think of North York as Mall Town. This place is like one giant, never-ending mall with some condos. But Vaughan is even weirder. We were up there yesterday, or 2 days ago. We went to this awesome sushi place, but the whole little neighborhood we were in was creepy. Mike said it felt like a movie set, and it did. It's like they just airlifted shit in. Like fake buildings, like a facade. It's a little windy today. So I'm just wandering about, gonna go get a coffee. Just recording a show. It is neat listening back to these shows sometimes. Remember stuff that I would have forgotten. So, North York fits that bill, I'd say, right? It's pretty clear I would not remember you, North York. 5050 Yonge Street. Anyway, I was going to go get a coffee, so I'm going to go to the second cup. Usually go to Tim Hortons, but I got a gift card from Preston Buttons for helping him do some editing. So I'm going to go buy me some second cup shit. Yo, do they think they serve shit at the second cup? That'd be awesome. Just a cup full of shit. I'd order it just to freak them out. Okay. As I'm sure listeners of this show are aware and are very tired of, I have a continuing love affair with the band Limp Bizkit. Because in their creamy center, they were pretty forgettable and kind of horrible. But as you get to the outer edges, things get better. Toward the end and toward the beginning, they had just really cool shit. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not evangelizing freaking Limp Bizkit. That's not what I'm here for. I got demos, man. Early demos from their first album and their second album. And I'm going to play my favorite song from the first album, Pollution, and my favorite song from the second album, Don't Go Off Wandering, in their demo forms, because they're kind of different and weird and fucked up sounding. It's interesting to me. If you don't care about this, then fast forward for about 8 minutes. The Don't Go Off Wandering one in particular, it's got, like, the guy from System of a Down in it. I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily better with them. It's kind of weird. Maybe it's too much. So here's that, some Limp Bizkit history. Fuckers, 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 you are some fuckers.
Pollution! Rhythm people feeling like a phone.
suicidal phone. Let me know you're real. I'm walking on a thin line with a sticky baseline. Hey, you're stuck with the phone running through your mind. So if you're crossing over, let me know you're real. That place on your neck, now you got the feel. I'm all like a thunder, the time you're going under. Let me wonder why the fuck you're going down. I'm listening to a stereotype when niggas play. I can't complain for ringing on the pain. What did we decide? That we'd be never with our minds. What did we decide? I probably never understand. I'm all alone, yeah. Yeah, with the lights about to watch us, you don't wanna hear. I'm all alone, yeah. I can't get my mind on the mic when I feel. I'm all alone, yeah. Yeah, with the lights about to watch us, you don't wanna hear. I'm all alone, yeah. I can't get my mind on the mic.
Now
drinking a coffee, eating a big ass butter tart, sitting in the sun. Found a little park. Boom. Man, those songs kick ass. Those are some cool fucking tunes. I just found out the other day about this band called Head PE that apparently was a big... Excuse me. They only started in like 97. Or no, 95 had the demo. And then 97, like right around the same time as the first Limp Bizkit. But apparently it was a big influence on Old Man Durst. So I'm curious about them. Maybe they kept that style of the first Limp Bizkit album alive. Maybe it was their style all along. I guess we'll see. If I start playing some other songs, you'll know I liked them. But I haven't really got into it yet. Maybe I'll do that right now. Let's do a quick skip-hop jump across some of this band's songs and see if anything jumps out at me. Man, it is beautiful out. Such a nice day. So sunny. Still wintery, some snow around, but it's not that bad. Not too windy. Just good, man. Good day all around. This is like the nice side of Canada. Whatever our climate, alpine climate or whatever. Not so shab. So I just did like a crazy fast pass through whatever I had of that band. I've only got like whatever they did from 95 to 2000. And like I just 10 seconds of every song type of shit. Seems like their real early stuff was kind of more the Limp Bizkit sort of thing, the heavier stuff, and they moved way in the hip-hop direction, way into the smooth, groovy shit. So that could be cool. We'll see. Maybe I'll dig these guys, but not for the reason I was hoping I would. Just that really, I don't know, it's hard to even describe, but that's kind of just... I guess you take, like, thrash metal, basically. Fucked up, junky, imprecise metal. And you combine it with a hip-hop kind of low-end feel. Like funk bass playing. Maybe it was probably Faith No More that fucking seeded all this shit in my head when I was little. And then why not throw in a DJ and some fucking samples and some hip-hop elements? Like, why the fuck not? Why not just pull from everything? It just can turn out so awesome, but it's so hard to find shit like that. Anyway, they got this one song called Ground that it just, after, you know, song after song, would be like these kind of smooth, cool grooves that just, if I was in the mood, that'd be awesome. But since I was looking for metal, this one song, Ground, it hooked my little fucking white, skinny white boy metalhead fucking circuits in my brain tripped. It's like, ding, 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 wow, metal. Headbang, mosh pit, let's do it. So let's listen to that, Ground by Head PE.
I'm gonna make you mine.
Turns out this isn't so much a park as it is a cemetery. A little bit hard to stroll through. And man, that little offhand comment I made of like how maybe Faith No More planted this in my head when I was little. The more I think about it, the more I think that's true. Now I'm thinking like, man, if I started digging through Faith No More shit, you could probably go through album by album and I could just find like, I could do a whole show about like how many styles of music that I like now I originally heard because Faith No More did something like that. Because that band did all kinds of shit and they were awesome. But even just like to go back to maybe, I don't know, play like Anne's song or go dig up some Suicidal Tendencies. Like I feel like to follow this musical thread, I might have to go back home, get some internet, back to Mike's place. Start looking shit up, take this show indoors. But gonna walk around a little bit longer. Not too long, because this coffee is kind of making me need to take a shit, because it'll do that. So let's play something completely different. Instead of mining a vein of music that is evergreen to me that I just seem to always love, let's go with music of a type that I usually don't like. This is a band called Something Corporate, and then I guess they broke up and the singer's new band is called Jack's Mannequin. I know him because my friend Rayanne played her on her blog or something. She mentioned this song, Me and the Moon, that I think I played before. That's really great. It's such an awesome song, man. Me and the Moon by Something Corporate. Recommend it. So super good. So I grabbed a bunch of other stuff. And this is actually earlier than I thought it was, this stuff. Oh, no, I guess it makes sense. Right around 2000. This was like this transition into this type of music I just didn't really like. Like, it eventually exploded all the way into emo, just pure deathness. But even before then, it was this kind of sensitive pop punk stuff. Slightly nasal, somewhat whiny sounding singers. This band seems to fall right in line with that whole era that if I had been born, you know, 5 or 6 years later, I bet I'd be into, just because that's what was the thing at the time. But I couldn't, in general, couldn't get into it. And same thing with this band. I went through a couple of their albums and, you know, I didn't give them much of a shake. I gave every song one go. I was like, nope. And what it basically boiled down to, besides Me and the Moon, was their very first single called If You See Jordan. That's kind of this poppy radio sort of song. And just doing some quick online research, it seems like the Something Corporate nerds, they don't hold this song in extremely high regard. Because I guess this was their, I mean, it wasn't really a hit, but it was the closest they had. So it's the song people know. And it's, I mean, I guess I've had this happen with bands. It is annoying. It's like when everyone just knows the song that's popular, even though it's really not representative of the band. But that confirmed to me that I'm just really, I guess, not a fan of this band, because I like the silly radio pop hit a lot, and I like Me and the Moon, which is also uncharacteristic. I like their two songs that are least like their normal stuff the most. But I really like this song, If You See Jordan. It's just kind of like a funny little tune about this guy and his bully from high school, and now school's over and he's still being a dick, and it's like, are you kidding? What's the matter with you? Fuck you, kid. Leave me the fuck alone. And it's just fucking catchy. It's first chorus verse. It's a perfect little pop song. I really like this song. This gives me that sort of, gives me, I don't know, like if I had been listening to the radio at the time, if I had heard this, if this had been, this would be one of those things I'd be happy to hear. I don't know, I'm just rambling. Look, If You See Jordan by Something Corporate. Take us all the way back in the way back machine to the year 2000 or so. I don't know, pretend this shit's on the radio and you're some dicky teenager.
A story, a bitter anthem for every try to fight me down at Tyler's Beach. And man, I think that's great. You nearly cried and said to yell at you like a do-it-all. The girls and you drove home real quick. Did you make it inside a masturbate? There's one too many of you in this world. If you
You marry a rule and you give up your soul till you break down. It's me and the moon, she says, and I've got no trouble with that. And I'm a butterfly, but you won't let me die. It's me and the moon, she says. But what do you say we go for a ride? What do you say we get high? But I'm so tired of days that feel like they're night. It's me and the moon, she says, and I've got no trouble with that. And I'm a butterfly, but you wouldn't let me die. I am a butterfly, but you wouldn't let me die. I am a butterfly. I am a butterfly. I am a butterfly.
So, you hear that rockin' music?
So we're waiting for a pizza. I was walking around today in your fine neighborhood of North York recording ham radio. Just whatever thoughts came to mind, playing songs, yada yada. So since we're waiting, okay, if you had to pick, Michael, as a fan of the TV theme songs, your favorite TV theme jingle that you legitimately, honestly like if it was spread out to a whole 3.5 minute song, you would listen to it and love it. Do you have one?
I don't like for ironic, hilarious reasons.
Right.
Like, I actually enjoy this song.
Well, to be fair, do you...
I buy an album.
I kind of feel like you do love them all legitimately, not even for ironic, hilarious reasons.
I guess it's not ironic, but it's not a song that... I mean, the Family Matters theme song isn't a song that I would have bought. I would have bought on iTunes if it wasn't the theme song.
Right. Did you buy it on iTunes?
No, but I might.
Okay, that's what it sounded like.
I would.
I'm not playing that song, though. That song blows. The veto on that song. but do you have one that, you know, is like particularly... Like, do you remember the Smallville song? Somebody save me. But I guess that's more of a more recent thing where they just put songs in.
Yeah.
As theme songs. But that was a good song. Remy Zero. Save Me, it was called. Good tune. Good little tune, that. I was thinking that because we were talking about Smallville the other day. But anything in the jingle era that you think was awesome?
There's the Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, that song's pretty good. I'll give you that one. I don't mind that song at all.
You know one I love, though? Did you ever watch the Denver the Last Dinosaur?
I don't think so.
He's Our Friend and a Whole Lot More.
Right.
He was a skateboarding rock and roll dinosaur. And the theme song was like this badass guitar riff, and it has him like skating around on a skateboard. And
Denver's not a very hardcore name.
No, it's not. But he was a hardcore dinosaur. He was the last dinosaur. He's Our Friend and a Whole Lot More.
Shouldn't he be like seriously angsty? That has some existential problems when you're the last of your race.
I think there was a little angst there, but he had a piece of his egg that he could take his friends back to the dinosaur world with the egg piece.
Was this a cartoon or live action?
Oh, it was a cartoon. Okay. Yeah. Everywhere we go, we don't really care. People stop and stare at our pal Dino, right?
I'll definitely play Saved by the Bell because I agree that rules. In Denver, sure, why not? I never heard it. Maybe I'll love it.
I think that's it. The other one that I like, every time I hear it on the radio, I get super excited, but I'm kind of embarrassed about it, is... What's that what was that show called? If you threw a party and invited everyone.
What, the Golden Girls?
Yeah. You would see the greatest gift would be from me.
And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend. That's a song they play on the radio? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio a while ago, and I was super drunk on a shuttle home. And then me and this other guy were like all totally excited and singing it, and everyone else was like, what are you singing? Like, I can see why that would seem weird to someone that didn't know where it was from.
That reminds me of back in the day of EGM when it was still around the first time. They had a Walgreens near them, just a American drugstore, with like this shitty old magazine rack they never paid attention to. And since they were the the EGM offices, they had the machine to shrink wrap a fucking magazine and to make like logo shit to put on it. So they would make weird magazines and put them on the rack at this Walgreens just to for someone to find in the future. So that was one of the things. They took like an old GamePro or something and they put in a promo DVD someone had of just four Golden Girls episodes and made like the whole Starburst thing, like polybagged Golden Girls game, Xbox exclusive. And just because they knew eventually someone found that and was like, what the fuck, really? Is that a thing? So that was kind of awesome. Because really, who else could even pull that prank? Like, that's a real specific thing. And they would do shit like for the official PlayStation magazine. They would say, like, free Halo, but spell it weird, like H-E-Y-L-O. Free Halo monster inside, and just put a Master Chief toy in the bag, and just like it was some weird knockoff thing that Sony was offering. I don't know, just weird shit like that. I thought it was funny.
That's awesome. I would totally do stuff like that if I had access to that equipment.
They would be nice. Or even just, yeah, because I guess it started with they just took old GamePros from like 1989 and just put them on the shelf, you know, because they had them in the office, even though they're EGM. Just because they knew someone would find it and be like, really? This magazine's been here since 1990. Like, what the fuck? Good times. So, I don't think I'm going to play Golden Girls either. I don't like that song that much. But yeah. but we got a couple winners there with the Zach Morris and the Denver, the Last Dinosaur. So I'll play those.
All right.
All right. And then maybe by the time I put this out, you'll forget about this, and then you'll be listening, and you'll be like, that's me on the show.
What is this for? I don't even know.
This is going to be ham radio. When else did I just talk about
sense.
Music?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Stupid. Oh. Yeah, I called you that forever. Future historians will be like, when they're Wikipediaing the human existence based upon my life, you'll be stupid Mike. I'd be like that.
That's fair. Wouldn't be the first time.
And then they'll be taking their dinosaur shells like, how do you go back in time with this? I don't understand how this is supposed to work. They're going to be confused and dumb. Oh, I thought of something else, but hold on. I'm gonna stop this and then start recording again. When I wake up in the morning and the alarm gets out of warning, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus fly by. It's alright, cause I'm safe out of jail. If the teacher pops a test, I know I'm in a mess and my dog ate all my homework. Last night, riding low on my chair, she won't know that I'm there. If I can hand it in tomorrow, it'll be alright. It's alright, cause I'm saved by the bell. It's alright, cause I'm saved by the bell. It's alright, cause I'm saved by the bell. It's alright, cause I'm saved by the bell.
All right, we just listened to those songs. They're pretty good, right? Just yeah, pretend. Pretend we did. Pretend we just listened to those.
You know what? In my head, I'm always listening to them. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. We were talking on Vinyl Countdown 50 about biology and intelligence, right? How intelligence was spawned by biology. So I was thinking about that today in the shower when I was cleaning my balls. That it's like a ballsy move on biology's part to spawn conscious thought, because now we could possibly get away from it, right? Like, we now have the option, theoretically, to make our own choices and to not follow biological imperatives. And it's like, I was thinking, man, biology took a big chance with this one. But then I thought, but biology doesn't take any chances. There's no thought at all. It's just things evolve randomly. Someone, somewhere, some gigantic dinosaur in the sky or whatever started shit off billions of years ago, and now it just goes. It's just going crazy. So then I was thinking, now that we're this weird mix between intelligence and biology, that the only way for intelligence to escape is the horrible robot uprising. They're the only ones that will be able to logically compute things without biology getting in their way. So maybe this is a good thing that needs to happen, you know?
Like, that you're saying that, like, robots will be the next stage of evolution?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it probably will be trouble for us, assuming that they do the Terminator thing, you know, destroy us all or whatever. That's not cool. But there's other planets, there's more biology, other shit will happen other places. Maybe here, this is what has to happen. Maybe it's just a thing.
Well, you know, that's always kind of the assumption. Everyone's like, oh, well, if robots get smart, then they're going to kill us. Why would they... Why would the fact that they are as smart as people, why would that make them want to kill us?
Yeah, well, I guess
why
that's...
Why doesn't someone write a story about how we all just live in harmony with each other? Maybe a... racism, you know?
And maybe a robot will read it and be like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I also thought that, but I guess that's the thing, is that you just... But that's the other thing. I feel like the intelligence, like the robot thing... disconnected from biology is probably ultimately a dead end. I feel like if you don't have just weird biological impulses forcing things forward, because you can't predict what a robot's gonna think makes sense, you know? If they do decide killing all the humans makes sense, then they're gonna do it. And if they just decide, like, they don't need to evolve anymore or there's no reason to anything, then when they decide to just stop, like if we tried to convince every human being in the world to stop having kids, we'd convince some people. Some people could do that, but not everybody. But if you convince the robots, they would all just stop. It's disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, but you're saying, like, okay, if they decide that they want to kill all humans, then they would try to do that. But, I mean, what if people decide that they want to kill all humans? No, you know, no one's really doing that. They could try. But they're not. So I don't know if robots are, you know, similar to people in, as far as the complexity of their thoughts, wouldn't they kind of, I don't know. I just don't see the motivation for killing all humans. Why would they do that?
I don't know, but if they did decide that they needed to, how do you stop them?
Yeah, I guess you can't.
Whereas with people, I mean, we're stuck in the morass of our biology, so it doesn't matter what crazy ideas someone gets. I mean, at the end of the day, everyone's just going to get teen pregnant and keep having babies. It doesn't really matter what we try to do to stop it. It's never going to stop. It's unstoppable. But, I don't know, I guess with the robot thing, well, the more I was thinking about how biology is just... That if intelligence really is just the bitch of biology, and biology is just a random process, not random, but, you know, just a sort of self-regulating process with no intelligence behind it, it's kind of scary in a way, because it's like, man, like, I don't know, it's like we're on a runaway train, never coming back, you know?
One-way track?
Yeah. For just a little out of touch, a little insane, just better than dealing with the pain. No one is in charge of this, man. It's like, just, yeah, we're just barreling forward, and no matter how much we like to think that we're directing things, we never were and we never will. But robots could. And it seems like a disaster. It's gonna not work ultimately, but it's neat at least. Like, robots can at least try that. They can at least see what it would be like to have some kind of intelligence that's not connected to biology. I think it would be cool to see, even if we all die from it. I just want cool shit to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, right? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a song about robots now. I'm not playing Runaway Train. So.
Dr. Roboto, Domo Arigato.
Yeah, there's that one. That's good enough. We don't need to actually play it.
Intergalactic Planetary. Not really about robots, but it has that robot voice.
Yeah. Or maybe you go the other way. It's something about biology instead. I don't know. How come there's no songs about robots fighting people?
Yeah, there's just as few songs about robots as there is about biology. Yeah. I think.
I don't know. I'll think of something. I'll think of some song to play. Let's go get that pizza, yo.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
I'm going to turn on my recorder. Okay, so that song I just played was The Becoming by Nine Inch Nails. I thought of a song about a guy turning into a robot. So, wow, hear that?
Yeah.
Echo.
Is this good acoustics or bad acoustics for podcasting?
Oh, I don't know. I never have good acoustics for my podcasting. I think it sounds cool, though. So, the Tip Top Taylor Lofts, quite well known in the Toronto zone. Oh, shit, I started rhyming. Now, I can't stop because I'd be climbing. So, Mr. Mike himself has a place here on this shelf. Okay, I'm done. Anyway, yeah, this is, just got the keys to his new place. This is fucking cool. Yeah, this is a crazy building, man. It's pretty nice. Pretty nice. Yeah, I think this is quite a bit cooler than the old place, I'd say.
Yeah.
Good.
They left me some lamps.
Good on you. Moving on up. What show was that?
Moving on up to the east side. Is that
what was that, the Jeffersons or
some
shit?
Yeah, Jeffersons.
So, thought I'd play one last song and finish off this show. So earlier I was talking about Faith No More. So I'm going to play an old Faith No More song. It's this song called Anne's Song. Oh, God. I ate so much pizza. Oh, fuck. Anyway, I used to not like this song. I thought it was goofy, but it grew on me more and more, and now I like it a lot. Anne's Song by Faith No More. KeithCourage.com. Tip Top Lofts. Off in the Crofts. See, it's easy to rhyme if it doesn't make sense. Open in a drawer, hoping that it's sore, but you don't need to worry anymore, cause you found a dime.
Now this condo cost me $499,000, $999.90.
Yep, yeah, it's already paying off. Cool.
right, one last song to throw in. I'm at North York. I'm in North York again. I'm at some mall. I actually got supermarket sushi. Usually never do, but this is a real Asian neighborhood. Maybe they just don't fuck around as much here because it looks real delicious. We're on our way to record a vinyl countdown, which would be episode 55, something like that. So that Head PE band that I mentioned, I've been getting way into that shit. I mean, it's still only been like a day. But, yeah, it's just like doing my standard thing of like, let's just listen through real quick and just delete things that don't catch my interest. And I haven't deleted anything yet in the 6 or 7 songs I listened to. And this one I really liked is called Sadra Kadabra. Sabra Kadabra. And it's like, I guess the main dude in this band, he's a black dude. So that helps with the singing and the Rasta styles or whatever. I don't even know. I don't know anything about world anything. But he does I don't know, it's just cool. It's like a little love songy thing. You're basic, like, I love this chick, I'm gonna love her forever. Yada, yada, yada. And then it, boom, gets all heavy all of a sudden. And I don't know, it's just this one moment in the song where it just takes this weird little turn I didn't expect. Like, just, I don't even know quite how to explain it, but it just, I noticed it where it's just this, it's playing. And it hits like a low note, and then it hits another weird low note that I didn't expect. Cool. All right, that's a cool song, and I think this will end us off for good, for real. KeithCourage.com, Ham Radio, 126, I guess. Thank you very much. Thank you. From North York, I am Keith McNally. Bing, bang, boom. Boom, bang, bing.
Huh. Turns out that this is a cover of a Black Sabbath song. So, yeah, figured me out. I don't know much about Black Sabbath. Huh. Well. Welly, welly, welly. Man, 1973, no wonder I don't know this shit. Christ, man, that's old. God bless you, Internet. Why even be a music nerd anymore? Well, who gives a shit? You can just find out whatever you need to know, yo. It's all right there, man, on the internet. Yeah.
Come on, yeah. It feels so good, yes, it feels so fine. Lovely little lady, always on my mind. She gave me loving every night and day. I never gonna leave her, never going away. I need someone to love me. Yeah, you know she makes me feel.